uniformity with God's will. It's a very short pamphlet, but it's a story that I found to be very consoling and very helpful in the times in which we live, especially more recently as what we've seen. The story is about a monk, and there's nothing special about this particular monk. He is not doing anything out of the ordinary that the other monks do. But there's one thing special that happens. He's able to work many miracles. Even touching his garments, people are cured. And the abbot, the one in charge of the monastery, wants to know, how is this monk able to work so many miracles? What is he doing? What is he doing differently than the others for why he's able to work so many miracles? And the abbot had asked him, what devotions do you practice? And the monk replied that there was little or nothing special that he did beyond making a great deal of willing only what God willed, and that God had given him the grace of abandoning his will totally to the will of God. The monk continues, prosperity does not lift me up, nor adversity cast me down. I direct all my prayers to the end that God's will may be done fully in me and by me. The abbot had then asked the monk, that raid that our enemies made against the monastery the other day, in which our stores were plundered, our granaries were put to the torch, and our cattle driven off, did not this misfortune cause you any resentment? The monk replied, no, Father. On the contrary, I return thanks to God, as is my custom in such circumstances, fully persuaded that God does all things, or permits all things, for his glory and for our greater good. Thus I am always at peace, no matter what happens. My dear friends in Christ, I tell you that story because I want us all to keep a peace of soul, despite all the things that are going on in the world around us here and now. But we still need to do our daily duty. We need to fulfill our duties. But at the same point, let us keep a peace of soul, knowing that God is in control, knowing that God has a plan for how everything is going, not only in our life, but in everything that's going on around us as well. But for the announcements here today, first off, I want to congratulate James and Sophia Schupfer on the birth of their baby girl, Joan Elizabeth, who was born this last week, and we had the baptism for her yesterday. Also, we'll be announcing the bands of matrimony for the second time for Mitchell Jindal and Alyssa Kula. If anyone is aware of any impediments to this marriage, please notify one of the priests. Also, this coming week are the summer Ember Days. So this Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, they're days of fast with partial abstinence on Wednesday and Saturday and the usual full abstinence on Friday. And then one other announcement, for this coming June, the summer catechism classes with the bishop or with the sisters. If you are not sure if you're going to come or you might come, please sign up anyways. So even if you're only going to be there for a day, or you might not even be there for a day, but you're thinking of coming, please sign up. So that way we have enough materials when the bishop does come up and with the sisters. You know, it's always all right if we have some extra materials if you're not able to make it. But if you are thinking of coming, that would be great, as it's certainly a good opportunity for us to grow in faith. For any other announcements, please take a look at the bulletin in back. The epistle that is read for the Feast of Pentecost is from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were drawing to a close, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as a violent wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues as of fire, which settled upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in foreign tongues, even as the Holy Spirit prompted them to speak. Now there were staying at Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound was heard, the multitude gathered and were bewildered in mind, because each heard them speaking in his own language. But they were all amazed and marveled, saying, "Behold, are not all these that are speaking Galileans? And how have we heard each his own language in which he was born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews also, and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we have heard them speaking in our own languages of the wonderful works of God." Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while yet dwelling with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your mind whatever I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled or afraid. You have heard me say to you, I go away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would indeed rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it has come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer speak much with you, for the Prince of the world is coming, and in me he has nothing. But he comes, that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do as the Father has commanded me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Immaculate Queen, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ, before going into the sermon, I wanted to ask you a trivia question, especially for the children who might not know the answer. Of the three greatest feasts of the church year, Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, which one is the greatest? Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On Easter, we celebrate our Lord rising from the dead 3 days after his death on the cross. And today, on Pentecost, we celebrate the Holy Ghost coming down upon the apostles, disciples, and the Blessed Virgin Mary. I will not hold you in suspense long. It is Easter. Easter is the greatest feast of the entire liturgical year, because by our Lord rising himself from the dead, he works his greatest miracle. Our Lord confirms and stamps and approves everything he's taught in his life by rising himself from the dead. But today, Pentecost is the second greatest feast of the entire liturgical year. And on this day, we celebrate the birthday of the church. Over the last 9 days, we've been praying the novena to the Holy Ghost, and so too the apostles made a novena, the first novena as well, in the cenacle. During their novena, it was filled with much prayer, but also there was fear and uncertainty. The apostles and disciples did not fully understand Christ's teachings, and they were afraid of what the Jews and what the others were going to do to them. But it was on this day here, Pentecost, that the third person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Holy Ghost, came down upon the apostles and disciples in the form of fiery tongues, and as it says in Scripture, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. What were the effects of them being filled with the Holy Ghost? First and foremost, they were taught all things, as it said, "But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I have said to you." Also, they spoke with diverse tongues. We heard it said, there were men of many different nations, men of different languages than the apostles and disciples, but still they could understand them. That would be like if you went to a different country, maybe Mexico, or probably wouldn't do much traveling now, but some country where you don't know their language, but for some reason, you're able to understand them when they speak to you. Also, from Pentecost, the apostles and disciples went out into all of the world and they preached the wonderful works of God. They spread the teaching that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is our Savior. But on this day, we celebrate this great feast. But where do we go from here? Do we just celebrate this feast one day and then forget about it? The church does not. Over the next 8 days, it's called the Octave of Pentecost. Pentecost is so important, is so special, that the church has a special mass every day now for 8 days to celebrate it. But in your own life, is there something special that you will do? I pray that over the last 9 days of the novena, you had a special intention. Maybe it was to practice some virtue or to overcome some sin. But I now think it would be really good if we went forward, especially in these next 8 days, to pray for that virtue or to pray to overcome that sin. And if that's not been something we've been doing already, let's start today. Let's ask God the Holy Ghost to help us moving forward. Oftentimes, I find that it's so easy to forget things. We might start a novena, and then on day 3 or 4, we completely forgot what the intention was of the novena. Write it down. Put it on a piece of paper. Put it in your missal. Also include the date that you started. Think of, what can I work on that helps me to know, love, and serve God better going forward here and now? God the Holy Ghost is our greatest friend. Just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in our tabernacle, on our altar, in a similar way, God the Holy Ghost dwells in our souls. At baptism, when original sin was washed away, God the Holy Ghost dwelt and dwells in our soul. At confirmation, we receive God the Holy Ghost and His gifts in a more fuller manner, in a very special way. God the Holy Ghost is our divine guest, and we are never alone. How often do we think of Him? How much do we know about Him? There's a really good book by EDM called Our Greatest Friend, the Holy Ghost. I don't believe we have copies here and now, but that's a really good book that would help us to learn more about the third person of the Blessed Trinity. That would help us to become better friends with our divine guest. And let us remember that whenever we're alone, whenever we're troubled, whenever we're down or uncertain on how we're supposed to act or the big decisions in life, turn to God the Holy Ghost and ask for the light to know what He wants us to do. But let us be on our guard, because the only thing that drives God the Holy Ghost from us is mortal sin. Mortal sin kills God's life in our soul. In any sense, the devil takes up his abode within us. So let us do our very best to know more about God the Holy Ghost and do our very best to ask him over these next 8 days for some special favor. Write it down if we have a hard time remembering it. Last questions I want to ask are you a friend of God's? Do you want to be a friend of God's? Do you want to love him with all your heart? I pray that each and every one of us, without a doubt, says yes, because that's why we are created. So do the will of God. Keep the commandments. Pray your prayers every day. Fulfill your duties. On our own accord, becoming a saint is not possible. But with God's help, all things are possible. And our greatest friend, God the Holy Ghost, is always ready and willing to help us. Whether in doubt, trouble, or fear, or uncertainty, remember that we have that divine guest with us. Ask him for help. Put him in charge of your most difficult tasks. And let us remember to pray, and pray every day to him, as we do it in making the sign of the cross, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Or in the glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. But also, a very special prayer. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.